In the name of Jesus, amen. Now that day was the Sabbath. The text you have heard today has a noble history in the life of the church. From very early days, it was part of the special, intensive catechetical training given to catechumens just prior to their reception among God's people and into His church through holy baptism. Along with two other events from St. John, Nicodemus, the healing of the blind man, the catechumens were confronted with this text, Jesus healing the man, the crippled man, by the pool. Early catechetical writings made much of this text. Several connected it to the idea of baptism because the water was there. Tertullian went so far as to see in the verse which was omitted due to poor textual support of the angel stirring the waters that this was the oil of chrism placed on the waters for baptism. But probably the real reason this text came to be part of early catechetical training was due to the question of Jesus. Do you wish to become whole? Certainly that is a question appropriate to catechumens. But the key issue here is not baptism, and it is not even catechesis. Why was Jesus doing this miracle? Why did he heal the crippled man? It certainly had nothing to do with the man. We've all heard of the three kinds of people, those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who say what happened. This man certainly fell in the third category. Jesus did not heal the man because the man understood what he was bringing to him, because he didn't. Jesus asked, "Do you wish to be made whole?" And the man goes on to explain in some crotchety fashion how this poor fellow always gets left out because he hasn't got the strength to get first to the pool. He didn't understand what Jesus was offering him. Jesus didn't heal the man because he recognized what was happening, because he didn't. He walked off. No praise, no thank you. Jesus didn't heal the man because the man afterward would become a believer and follow him, because he didn't. Jesus had to find him later in the temple. Nor did he heal him because even at that point he would believe, because from all appearances he didn't. What he did do was return to the Jewish leaders and turn Jesus in. So why did Jesus heal the crippled man? The key here is the Sabbath. The Sabbath. That became the subsequent dialogue between Jesus and the religious leaders after this text. And John emphasizes it by the word order in which he mentions it was the Sabbath. Jesus healed because of the Sabbath. Jesus is God, and God works even on the Sabbath. Now, that's no surprise to a Pharisee or a religious leader of the Jews. They knew that God could do whatever he wanted to do. That's why they didn't chase people away from the porticles around the pool on the Sabbath. In fact, they confront him not about the healing at all. They confront the man about the fact he's carrying his bedding. And perhaps if he would have told them, "I was down in the pool today, the water was stirred and I was healed," that they would allow him the same latitude that Jesus tells us that they allowed themselves to pull up their donkeys out of the mire on the Sabbath. The real issue for them was that the man Jesus heals on the Sabbath. And in this healing is the evidence of his divinity, for only God can heal on the Sabbath. But it is an evidence which they reject. But this is not the end of the story, especially for us today. This text is not simply another proof text about the divinity of Christ evidenced through miracles. There is a moreover here. And the moreover is this. Jesus healed because Jesus is himself the Sabbath of of God. That is to say, we not only learn who Jesus is by virtue of this miracle, we learn anew what the Sabbath of God is by virtue of this miracle. The Sabbath of God is not some passive state of holy vegetation. It is not some legalistic behavior to keep us right with God. Several years ago in my last parish, I had a man convert to Lutheranism out of a Calvinistic background. And he reported to me how, as he was a child, his mother would make all the children go to bed into their rooms all day Sunday so that they would keep the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath of God is not something passive. The Sabbath of God is something active. It is God's active power. It is God's active power in God the Son coming to us through his incarnation to institute God's new creation in fulfillment of his promise. And that's what we see here. God's new creation power at work to make the crippled whole, the blind see. All service to God that we as Christians would render must be understood as coming out of this active Sabbath of God. We find this Sabbath of God, this rest, in Christ. We find, therefore, our service and our life in this rest of God in Christ. The greatest of all acts of faith is the faith which rests in Christ as its Sabbath power. This rest comes by the power of God's grace and with the power of God's grace. The man, the crippled man in our text, deserved nothing before, during, or after the miracle that came to him. It came by God's grace. And this power comes with God's grace to all who find their rest in Christ, who makes all things new. Perhaps here then is the connection of this text to catechesis. Holy baptism is that place where God's rest is brought to you with grace and with new creation power in Christ. Holy baptism is the invitation to set yourself down and rest. And so the catechumens can well be asked, do you wish to become whole? Here is the rest. Are you ready to recline? And that same question also comes to us today. For you have been brought into God's rest through that gift of baptism that made you his own child. That new creation power of God's Spirit resides in you. You are washed and his now forever. And each day, faith has a challenge and an invitation. It is not the challenge to do. It is the challenge to trust enough to rest. The faithful recline in Christ. Here again, we recline. Shall we? In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.